Welcome to another message from Citizen Heights. We are located in the nation's capital, where our heart is to inspire hope, remove limitations, and help you experience God's possible for your life. Join Pastors Michael and Heather Giroux in their passion to help you live your best life. We hope you enjoy today's encouraging and uplifting message.
Welcome again. Happy Easter to you. And I want you to join me right now. If you like reading along with us, maybe you can turn to Luke chapter 4. Join us at Luke chapter 4 and also Romans 8. We're going to go ahead and turn and set a foundation because today we begin a new series, and you'll want to track with us over the next 3 weeks as we begin a series, The Greatest of These is Love. Cross equals love, and our hope is that you'll go ahead and help us by sharing and inviting and maybe posting and hashtagging with our cross equals love icon and possible awaits. And our hope is really that when people see you and me sharing this message and sharing our excitement for what God is doing, that they're gonna take a moment to consider who God is, what the cross is all about, and what the message of Jesus really means to them personally. So we're excited to jump into this series. Hopefully you've got Luke chapter 24. I'm still singing that song, In His Name We Come Alive, and the resurrected king is resurrecting me. It's resurrecting you. I don't have as good a voice as Ashley and Michaela and our team, but I think God likes my voice just fine. And I know he likes your voice. I know he loves our voice when we come together to worship in unison. And so go ahead, find your way to Luke chapter 4. This really lays out for us the narrative and the story of Easter. And it's and the context behind Luke 24, it's very early on the very first Easter morning. And certain women had gotten up and had come to the tomb, and they had arrived at the tomb, and they had found that the stone had already been rolled away. And so they find the stone rolled away, and they look, and they can't find Jesus, and we find ourselves in verse 4. And I'm only going to read verse 4, 5, and 6 from Luke 24. And this is a passage being read all over the globe today, being celebrated in many, many, and millions of homes. And it reads verse 4, and it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood before them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Come on, could you say amen? That means, uh-huh, so be it. That means that's good. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And what catches my eye is in verse 4, the very beginning, it says, and it happened as they were greatly perplexed. Have you ever been greatly perplexed? Have you ever been, you know, is there anything going in your life right now that might bring you to being perplexed, that perplexes you, that confuses you, that startles you, that scared you, that has disappointed you, that has surprised you, that has knocked you off balance and unsettled you? We find ourselves in a day right now where there's lots of uncertainty and too much instability. And as it was on the very first Easter morning, they were greatly perplexed because their plans had been sidetracked. There was an unannounced detour of epic proportions, and Jesus has been crucified, Jesus has been buried, and it's the third day, and Jesus's body is now missing, and they go to make sense of it, and it's declared to them that Jesus is not dead, but in fact, Jesus is alive. And the significance and the implication of this passage has global impact, right? And I'm glad it has global impact right now, and it's reaching your home and my heart, but it has eternal import. It changes everything. And Romans 8, I want to take that Romans 8 now, because this paints the picture with supreme clarity in seven life-changing, love-defining verses we find in Romans 8. I want to start at verse 31, and I'll show you this on the screen as well. It says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us from God who has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Verse 44, who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us, was raised to life for us. And he's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Verse 38, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor either our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell themselves can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky, no power in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Can you say amen? The Bible is so good, and this passage is so clear, and I wish everything was that clear. I wish everything was this clear. Have you ever received mixed signals from someone? Have you ever gotten mixed signals from someone where it wasn't exactly clear? Mixed signals can be very tough, and mixed signals are it's when someone's position or intention are not readily known to you because there might be multiple interpretations, there might be multiple contradictions in their actions toward you. Have you ever been on the receiving end of mixed signals? I know all of us have recently. A lot of in the news, we've seen health officials get up and tell us, do not touch your face. Do not touch your mouth. And while the health official is telling us, do not touch your face, do not touch your mouth, the health official touches their face and they touch their mouth. I remember the very first newscast when in the early days when the virus was just, we were discovering what it took to flatten the curve and we were discovering how it was spread and we wanted to slow that spread. And it turns out that it's really hard to not touch your face while you're talking about not touching your face. It turns out that it's really hard not to. And there was, of course, this one doctor who is reading the report of you can't touch your face, you can't touch your mouth. And while she's reading the report, she's licking her fingers to turn the page of the report. And, of course, from there, you know, it's hard not to touch your face. Even now, when I keep on saying don't touch your face, you want to touch your face. And so just go ahead and use your shoulder if you can reach your face. But it's difficult. And, of course, then the memes come. And the memes show up because the world is basically running on memes right now to get us through the day. And some of my favorite of course, the one does not simply stop touching their face. It's not that easy. You can't just announce stop touching your face because it makes us want to touch our face even more. And the other meme that I like is the one that the only measure that'll work is we do whatever it takes. It's the dog collar. We'll do whatever it takes to flatten the curve. We'll do whatever it takes. But government officials, mixed signals, right? And even mixed signals and masks that they say wear over your mouth and your nose. And apparently it's difficult to wear a mask over your mouth and nose. I've seen them worn on officials, government officials, on their mouth only, leaving their nose exposed. I've seen some with it on their nose and somehow pulled up so they can still talk out their mouth. Some people turn it around. I mean, you can wear it yarmulke style. I mean, there's all these approaches, but we're getting these mixed signals and relationships. This is where mixed signals really flourish, right? In relationships between one another, because the ecosystems in which relationships are formed are absolutely prime and prone for mixed signals. And married, if you're married, you might encounter some mixed signals. Maybe one like, do you mind if I go shopping? And the response might be, no, not at all. I'll just go ahead and stay here with the kids and be a responsible adult. And you think, well, that feels like a mixed signal. It feels kind of passive aggressive and mean. Like this. So should I go? Because you said go ahead, but then you said that you were going to be the responsible adult. And if you're single, mixed signals all the more. It's mixed signal central. If you are single, I can just imagine. I love being with you, and I feel so comfortable with you, and I feel like I can be my true self with you. dot, dot, dot. And you're thinking, this is amazing. You can be your true self with me. This is, you feel so comfortable with me, dot, dot, dot. And then they finish. It's as if you're my brother. It's as if you're my sister. I'm so comfortable with you. And these mixed signals come. Singles have it bad. Because you're asking your question, you're asking yourself, where do I stand with him or with her? Happens to all of us. Sometimes it can be difficult to know where you stand. Maybe they ask you out for lunch, and lunch is the most ambiguous meal to be invited to if you don't know if this is a work appointment or something more. And so you consider it, and maybe it is just a work appointment because they did ask you to lunch after all, and you do have some common ground in work. But then again, maybe this is the moment, and maybe you should start naming your kids together. See, it's just mixed signals. It's difficult, and we've all been there asking the question. It happens to all of us to know, where do we stand? What are they really thinking? And what does this really mean? And what do they really intend? And the totality, I'm happy to tell you, the totality of Jesus's life and his demonstration towards us, when you look at his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, the fact that he seated at the right hand of the Father to forever make intercession so that we can know salvation. Every act Jesus has taken has communicated to us without any ambiguity where we stand with him. No room for doubt. Jesus has made it clear once and for all his complete, his all-in, his unreserved, his do-whatever-it-takes love for you and I. And we celebrate on Easter. The greatest of these is love. The greatest of this comes from 1 Corinthians 13, and it describes divine love, supernatural love. And in coming weeks, you're going to want to stay tuned as we look at different facets of this. But of all the motives and of all the emotions that could have possibly inspired God to do what he did, and for Jesus to go to the distance that he went, of all those reasons and emotions, the greatest was love. Because faith, you can believe for stuff on your own, and hope, you can generate a confident expectation for stuff on your own. But love, God is love. You can't find love without God in the equation. The greatest of these is love, and the illustration of as a child, I remember singing in church, and I remember just being in church at First Baptist Church on Main Street in Messina, New York, and it was this old Baptist church, and they would sing this hymn. I'm so glad that Jesus loved me. Or maybe you remember it. I'm so glad that Jesus loved me. Jesus loved me, Jesus loved me. I'm so glad that Jesus loved me. Jesus loves even me. And I remember singing that in a Baptist church, and there's great vibrato in a Baptist church because the ladies that are of a certain age know how to just really crush the vibrato side of things. And I would sing this song, I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. And it wasn't until years later I learned the history that Philip Bliss wrote the song in the 1880s. And they asked him what he wrote, why he wrote the song and what the thinking behind it was. And he's been quoted as saying, I sang enough about my poor love for Jesus. And I thought to myself, shall I not rather sing of his great love for me? See, we talk about our love for God and we declare in faith, but our love for Jesus, mixed signals at best, but his love for us, clear, crystal clear. And Romans 8 takes this historical fact and it explains its meaning to us with even more detail. We read it a moment ago, Romans 8. And it said he died for us, that he was raised for us. And he's pleading with us because he loves us. That's why Jesus did what he did. The love of God was the why. It was the what. It was the how. Simultaneously, Jesus' love, no mixed signals. No mixed signals. Jeremiah 31 says it says this. Let me show this to you. It says, I'll never quit loving you. I've never quit loving you and never will. Expect love, love, and more love. And so now I'll start over with you and I'll build you up again. Come on, a love that never ended, a love that never quits, a love that's constantly building, a love that never changes its mind. That's 1 Corinthians 13, nature of love, being kind, being considerate, a love that keeps no records of wrongs. Jesus' love, a friend like that gets your attention, right? A friend who loves you on your worst day gets your attention. And Jesus, the Bible says, he's the friend of sinners. And I'm so glad that he is. I'm so glad that Jesus is the friend of sinners. And so 2 points to consider on this Easter. 2 points to consider. The first one, we mentioned this in passing on Good Friday, but I felt compelled with the current events in full view to again reinforce this first thought. And here it is. The first one is, God's love is my rest. God's love is my rest. Cross equals love, and God's love is my rest. And again, Matthew 11, that's where we began this thought on Good Friday. It says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come on, God gives us rest. God's love is my rest. Rest from external do's and don'ts. Rest from trying to perform to earn God's love. Rest from the weight of worry. Rest from the weight of doubt. Rest from fear. Rest from anxiety. Rest from depression. Rest from oppression. Rest from addiction. Rest from all these things, and we find rest in the presence of Jesus. Because it's interesting, in Genesis, we read the creation account, and it said, after God created, he rested. After creation, God rested. But after redemption, the cross, we rested. We get to rest because God's love for me means I get to rest in the finished work. So let there be no mixed signals to your life. God loves us, and his love is our rest. The second thought is this: God's love is my restoration. His love is my rest, but his love is my restoration. And I'm so glad we got to this point, because Romans chapter 3, I want to share it out of the Message translation. And God's love comes once and for all to deal with our sin and free us and restore us. Take a look at this. It says in verse 23, since we've compiled this long and sorry record of sinners and prove that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us, God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we were in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did it by Jesus Christ. Come on. God's love is my rest. It just tells us in Romans 3 that my rest equals freedom, that my rest equals dealing with my sin, that my rest deals with God's generosity. It says God did it for us. My rest means that it's his pure gift that gets me out of this mess. And it says that we're restored as he always wanted us to be. Cross equals love means the only person in the history of the universe whose opinion of me matters looks at me and finds me more valuable than his own life. So he gave it. He gave his life so that we could find rest. He gave his life so that we could be restored. He gave his life so in the midst of perplexing circumstances and unexpected seasons and pandemics and panic and fear, we can rest in his love. We can be restored in his love. Come on, we can be received in his love. Come on, we can rejoice in his love. So I'm going to wind down with this. And then in a moment, we're going to declare a blessing. I'm going to have the worship team at the end, and they're going to declare a blessing over you and your house and your kids and your family. And we're going to wind it down right here. But I want to conclude with this thought. I'm not going to take you to Matthew 18, but I want to just put it in there. Matthew 18, if you want to read it for yourself, it starts around verse 13, and it compares God to a good shepherd. and it compares God to the good shepherd who has 100 sheep, and it says that one wanders away. And as one wanders away, it says the good shepherd leaves the 99 in safety, and he goes after the lost one to find him. And it says when he finds the one, he rejoices just over the one. He celebrates just over the one. God throws a party just over the one. God, the good shepherd. And the problem with being lost, I've found, is that you don't know you're lost until you're already lost. You don't know that you've wandered away until you've lost your way. Sometimes it's because you didn't know the way. But sometimes it's because you knew the way, but you wandered away because you wanted to do your own way. Sometimes it's because you took a wrong turn, detoured by decisions and circumstances. And sometimes it's just you're blown off course. I remember as an 11-year-old, I don't know how it happened or why it was permitted, but I was allowed at one point to take this canoe out. We were at the Finger Lakes in upstate New York, and the Finger Lakes, they're what you'd imagine Finger Lakes, all these little ins and outs and nooks and crannies along the shoreline. And I was allowed to take this canoe out as an 11-year-old, and so I took it out, and I went too far, and I got blown off course. And before you knew it, every cove looked the same. And I kept on trying to find my way back, and I kept thinking to myself, the next corner is going to be where I find home. And I'd go around the next corner and the next corner and the next corner, and I was so lost. And it was getting dark, and the sun set, and I remember thinking to myself, how do I find my way home? How do I get back? I never should have been put in this circumstance. I don't know how. To this day, I don't know how I made it back. I remember walking through the woods, and I'm here today, so it worked out. But our lives sometimes, you don't know you're lost until it's too late. And really tracing back to whether it was a decision you made or a circumstance that was forced upon you, or maybe it was done because you didn't understand the ramifications, or maybe it was just the wind blew. And in the moment, you found yourself drifting. And now you find yourself lost. God says, even if you've wandered off, no mixed signals. Even if you intentionally left and turned away, God says, I'm still interested. Even if you find yourself and each corner you round, you think this has got to be home. It's got to be in a job. It's got to be in a relationship. It's got to be in power. It's got to be in finances. It's got to be here somewhere. It's in Jesus. And just like the women who came to the grave and to the tomb, and they were looking where they thought Jesus would be, and it was declared to them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? And I don't know why it is we seek for God's goodness apart from God, and we seek for peace apart from God, and we seek forgiveness apart from God, and we seek blessing apart from God, and we seek love apart from God. But we have a God who loves us so much. Come on, He loves us so much. The love of God means I can rest in His love. Come on, the love of God means I can be restored in His love. And the love of God means He's rejoicing even now at the very prospect that He gets to lead us home. The Easter message is He's searching for you because He loves you. He's searching for you, and I want to pray for two groups of people right now, wherever you are. I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes. Maybe no moving in that room where you're at right now. No distractions. Maybe silence the chat just for a moment, because I want to talk to you and just pray for two groups of people. The first group of people, you're here and you say, I need to find rest. And I need to find that place of restoration where God is rebuilding me from the inside out. Come on, the cross means the love of God. The cross means the rest of God. It means peace when you don't expect it. It means hope when you don't deserve it. And you're coming to this moment, and you say, is there a future beyond my past? Can I really Can I find rest? Can I find restoration? I want to pray right now, Father, for every person listening right now. Lord, we thank you that you're real. And as sure as Jesus lived and walked the earth and was crucified by Roman soldiers and laid in a tomb, and 3 days later, inexplicably, his body was gone, but he showed himself to over 500 eyewitness accounts to say, Jesus, who was dead, is now alive. Father, we thank you that we're going to stop looking for life amongst dead things. We're going to stop looking for God's blessing in the midst of our own scurrying and our own striving and our own straining. We're going to rest because in your love we can rest. We're going to be restored because in your love there's restoration, there's freedom, there's a new day, there's new life, there's new mercy, there's new hope for a new chapter. I want to pray for one last group of people with your eyes closed. I want to pray for you to find relationship. Maybe you know God as a religious symbol. Maybe you've known God as a possible creator, universal judge and jury and executioner, but you've never known that Jesus, that he loves you. That the core, but of all these things, the attribute of God that stands out, God is love, and God loves you, and you need Jesus in your life. You've come to understand that. You might still have other questions and other things you're working out, but as far as today goes, you understand that God loves you and God made a way for you. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. We all need his restoration plan. We all need it. But the Bible says that Jesus took our place. And the punishment of sin that I deserved and you deserve was laid on Jesus, so that you and I could go free. And through the filter of Jesus, when God looks at you and God looks at me, he doesn't see what I did last week. He doesn't see the wrong of yesteryear. He doesn't see the stack of mistakes and missteps. What he sees is the finished, complete, perfect love of God through the filter of Jesus. And you're here and you say, I need Jesus. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be rescued. You will know the mercy of God, the rest of God, the restoration of God. And I want to pray for you right now, and I'm going to ask you to do a bold thing. I'm going to count to three, and when I hit three, I'm going to encourage you just to lift your hand. And by lifting your hand, you're saying, Jesus, I need you in my life. This might be the first time you've ever done it. It might be a recommitment moment because you've been blown off course and you found yourself wandering, trying to find home. And today is the day you come home. One, don't wait. Today is your day. Two, he loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are. Are you ready? One, two, three, hands in the air. Say, Jesus, I surrender to you. Jesus, I need you in my life. Jesus, you're what I've been looking for. Jesus, I rest in you. Jesus, I want to be restored. And Jesus, make me new. All things new. The Bible says the old has passed away. It says, behold, all things become new. New life in Jesus. New life for you. So I want us all to pray this prayer nice and loud. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I give you my life because you first gave me yours. I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. So I surrender my heart. I surrender my life. I surrender my past. I surrender my hopes for my future. I put it all in your hands, Jesus. Now say this boldly. I am a Christian. By grace I've been saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we rejoice with those who just prayed that prayer for the first time?